everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. In this episode, I'm going to be playing an interview I conducted at WonderCon with artist Liam Sharp. He's one of the artists on the upcoming DC Wonder Woman Rebirth title. Before we get to the interview, though, just a reminder that you can follow the Comic Source on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. You can also follow us on Instagram. Just do a search for the Comic Source. Also, you can like us on Facebook. Just do a search for The Comic Source. That's us. And if you happen to be on iTunes, any 5-star reviews you give to The Comic Source are greatly appreciated. If you want to contact us directly, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com. And of course, for all things Comic Source, visit our website, thecomicsourceblog.com. Any social media following or support you can give us really, really helps us out. Those iTunes 5-star reviews, likewise, are very, very important. We're really trying to grow the Comic Source into something where we have even more access to comic publishers and comic creators so we can bring all our listeners even more content and more behind-the-scenes sneak previews, previews of books coming out, maybe even get some exclusives at some point. So any support you give us, we greatly appreciate. If you're listening, please tell a friend, get them to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. You know, it doesn't matter if they ever even listen to the episodes. Obviously, if they're comic fans or if they want to be comic fans or they're even mildly interested in comics, we'd love for them to listen. Even someone who's not necessarily a comic book reader, you know, we have other content. We talk about the TV shows. We always do our reviews of the comic book movies. So I really feel like there's something for everyone. You know, on your drive to work, you can hear our thoughts on, say, Batman versus Superman or Deadpool or something like that. So if you have anyone you know that might be interested, please let them know. Have them subscribe to our podcast. And like I said, follow us on those social media accounts. It really, really helps us out, and we really appreciate it. As far as what's coming up on the podcast in our future episodes, we're going to be doing more interviews all week long. I conducted a lot of interviews at WonderCon, so we're going to be rolling those out probably a few a day over the next week or so. Likewise, we're going to be recording our WonderCon wrap-up very soon. Manny and I both were able to attend, so you're going to hear both of our thoughts and what we did at the convention. As I mentioned, the Batman versus Superman episode, we're going to record that very soon. We kind of want to wait just a little bit and not release it quite so soon after the movie's released, just because I know people don't necessarily want to have the movie spoiled. There's a few things that happen that are pretty surprising, I'll say. And so I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to see it before we put out an episode that's going to have some spoilers in it. So that'll probably be recorded in about a week or so. And obviously, it'll have spoiler warnings because, as I said, there are some things in the movie that I think anyone who hasn't seen it but plans on seeing it, you're going to want to experience those things for yourself the first time and not, you know what's going to happen going forward. We're probably also going to talk about the tone of the movie and how we feel that's going to shape the DC movie universe going forward. We also have a couple of spotlight episodes planned in the near future. We're going to be talking about a self-published book called Skies of Fire that I discovered at WonderCon this last weekend. And we're also going to have a spotlight on what I feel is an extremely underrated run. It's 37 issues. It's Mark Waid's Irredeemable series from Boom Studios. I don't hear a lot of people talking about it. It did have some buzz at the time that it came out, but I feel it's a seminal work. And I have a feeling that there's a lot of comic fans that don't realize that this series exists or haven't necessarily read it. So we're going to shine a spotlight on that. And we'll probably have some Comic Talk episodes mixed in there. So there's a whole lot going on at the Comic Source. As I mentioned, I appreciate your support. Any following and you know word of mouth you can give us, again, is greatly appreciated. So on to the interview with Liam Sharp. And if you're interested in getting more news about Wonder Woman or following Liam, I really recommend that. He's a super nice guy, very genuine. You know, he's been around the industry for 30 years now, and he's super, super excited about Wonder Woman. He talks about that in the interview. And for someone with his credentials to be so excited about drawing Wonder Woman was very refreshing. It was a real pleasure to see. I mean, he got goosebumps while he was talking about drawing Wonder Woman. That's how excited he is. So go follow him on Twitter. Just do a search for Liam Sharp and it'll come up. And also like his Facebook page. He posts a lot of art on there. And he recently posted a couple of smaller articles talking about his thoughts on the DC Rebirth reaction that people have been posting on social media and online and such. And he also talked about how hard the executives and other creators at DC are working on this. And he, like I said, he's just a really nice, genuine guy. And I feel like it really can give you some insight into the mind of a creator that's really at the heart of what's going on with this DC Rebirth initiative. So I'm going to go ahead and play the interview for you now. Thanks for listening, everyone, and I'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source. I'm here with Liam Sharp, artist on DC Rebirth Wonder Woman. So I wonder if you can give our listeners a little intro, talk about some of the previous work. Maybe they've seen your work somewhere before.
Well, I've been around 30 years, actually. I started in the late, 1986, 2000 AD. I guess my big break was around about the same time that Jim got his big break, which was the very early 90s, 91, when I did a book called Death's Head in a house style, which did very well in America and was and kind of opened the doors for me and led to a run on the Hulk and Spider-Man and all sorts of books. But somewhere in the 2000s, I set up my own publishing company, which was for independent stuff, and I wrote a couple of novels and I did some characters of my own. So I got the creator-owned bug out of the way. And then 6 years ago, I co-founded a company called Madefire, which has done incredibly well. It's digital storytelling through all the different platforms, and extremely proud of that, which also got me to move to America and got us working with DC on various projects too. Like we did Injustice as a motion book on the app, which you can now read on Apple TV, and you know, we just had the most amazing time. But in that last 6 years, the bug to draw has been eating me up inside. Okay. And I've just been desperate to get back to it. So to get this opportunity was just phenomenal. It's amazing to be doing one of the mainstream books again.
Yes, I mean, you're going to be the artist on inarguably the most famous female superhero ever.
Yeah, ever. Incredible. You know, it's probably been since about December time when this was looking like a strong possibility, actually maybe even late November, and almost every day since then, since I knew it was nearly a it was looking like it might actually happen, every day I've been, oh my god, I might be drawing Wonder Woman, I might be, and then suddenly I was, and it's like, and every day I've been going, and my kids will attest to this, and my wife do, you know, every day, so I'm the Wonder Woman artist. They're like, yeah, you're the Wonder Woman artist. It's the most, my hair's all on end, you know. It still excites the hell out of me. And I've just been, I can't wait to get back to the drawing board, just do another page. I've been banging them out a page a day, just tearing through it. But no, sometimes like 16 hours, really kind of putting in the detail. So I've been having an amazing time. I need to get away from here now and go home. I want to get drawing again. It's making me thirsty to draw, you know.
Definitely a character that evokes a lot of strong responses, not only in her fans, but also in the creative teams that work on her. When I talked to Meredith David Fitch at San Diego last year, Meredith was talking about how the strength of Wonder Woman as a female, as a hero, reminded her so much of her mom and her sisters. Is there some of that for you?
It's incredibly intimidating having a character like that, to give her the gravitas that she deserves, you know, to not make her a sexual object. She's the most intimidating, powerful being in any room that she's in. And also the most beautiful. Whether you're male, female, or indifferent, you know, you're going to fall in love with her no matter what.
Right.
And to try and capture that is tough. My wife's and my daughter are very much feminists, as I am myself, you know, so, which might not be obvious from my early work, but it was the 90s, you know. Nobody wore any clothes in the 90s. But, you know, I learned a lot from having a daughter and having a wife and an amazingly supportive wife. There's no doubt for me that this is dedicated to her, you know, and everything she's done for the whole time we've been together to support me and to support all the things I've done and the things that we've done together, as because we've published together and we've written together and we wrote a last, in fact my last book was a book called Captain Stone is Missing, which she co-wrote with me and we created. So yeah, I mean, it really is a big testament to her. And it's funny, actually, I had a moment where a few years where I drifted out of the, actually not a few years, it's been nearly two decades where I drifted out of the mainstream. And we started Mamtour Publishing in 2004 with a view to getting my profile back up again so that I could have a shot at a mainstream book. It's taken me 12 years, but I'm back.
So, hey, we're glad to have you.
That's awesome.
Is there a balance in trying to reach a new generation, especially with the visibility of Wonder Woman in the Batman versus Superman movie, while still kind of keeping that core audience that's been here all along?
I think so. I mean, we don't want to do too much of a crossover. We want to tell our own story. I mean, again, Greg called up and he said, what do you think of the Wonder Woman movie costume? I said, I love it. So do I. Let's do that. It's like, great. That's awesome. So both Nicola and I have done a sort of variation on that costume to try and, well, it is just an awesome costume. And there's also something else that was really nice. We talked early on about how there's a difference with Wonder Woman to, say, Batman and Superman. They're warriors for totally different reasons. Batman's got his demons. Superman has got this incredible power and feels found need to serve man based on his upbringing and all of that. She's born to it. She's a born warrior.
Right.
So that little smirk that she gives in the film, that's her. That was her, and that was what Greg really wanted to capture, and that's what we're going for, really. She delights in battle. It's the last place she's going to go, but you don't want to get her there, because when she goes, this is her natural element. You know?
Right.
So that's all sort of really key to what we're doing. Again, hard to put across in a few lines on paper, but that's what we're reaching for, and that's the sort of tone that we're going for. Yes, she's a tough character to get right, and as
well, if anybody can, though, Greg and you and Nicola, that's like a dream team, superstar, you know, creative team. I mean, how's the collaboration been? Do three of you just like gel right away?
Oh, man, we had a great conference call for an hour between the three of us. We're definitely all going to keep that thing going so that we're not working in isolation, you know. It's a team thing. The first thing for all of us is the book. That's what matters. So it's doing service to the book, service to the character. We don't want to, none of us want to sort of take any individual kind of stance here. It's like, we just want to do something great. In terms of Greg, I speak to him every other day. We have so many like ideas buzzing around, and we did gel very quickly politically. You know, we're all very aligned. You know, our views of the world are very, very aligned, and also our interests are really aligned. So, and we look like each other, which is really odd. In fact, when I got here yesterday, somebody came up to me and said, "Greg, it's like you have no idea how odd that is. That is the strangest thing. I can't even tell you yet." You know. So, it's a lot of fun, and really, really exciting. I'm having a blast.
All right, just one more question. So you're going to be writing more of the modern day story,
yes,
while Nicola's, or drawing the more of the modern day story, while Nicola's going to be handling the past. Are we going to see those kind of tie in? Are we going to see things from her past reflected in the modern story you and Greg are telling?
It's one story in two totally different narratives. It's going to work as a beautiful device to separate the two time zones, you know, from 18 to 28. They are definitely going to tie together. We're really keen that any ideas I might have that she's shared in, and she might have that I've shared in, you know, characters designs that she does, I'm going to age.
Oh, nice.
So that there'll be some that I get to design, some that Nicola gets to design, but we're all going to work hand in glove to keep it really cohesive and make sense of it all and pull it all together, you know, eventually, without giving too much away.
Great. Well, thanks so much for taking the time.
It's a pleasure.
Really appreciate it.